My name is Caleb Davis.
Okay, who is Mr. Davis?
My brother is Quincy Superstar Ford.
My mother, sir. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing, sir.
Good morning, sir. Just for the record, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us again, please?
My name is Caleb Davis. My ADC number is 04624.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting the hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. And to my immediate left, you have Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And my name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today.
Yes.
So also with us, representing the Department of Correction, as well as parole office, is Mr. Grady. I think you can see Mr. Grady up on the screen now, sir. Mr. Davis, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes.
Okay, so on that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Representing myself.
Okay, so at this time, I'd like to swear to you and Mr. Grady in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether you violated the terms and conditions of the community supervision. And phase two, the board will make a decision as to whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have three allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you, Mr. Davis. When I read those allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, I do.
All right, so the first allegation on your warrant states that you violated Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of cocaine on or about January 24, 2018, per the task lab report dated January 25, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you, sir. The next allegation on your warrant states that you violated the Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by the use of cocaine on or about February 7th, 2018, per the test lab report dated February 9th, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
All right, sir. And the third allegation states that you violated the Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to participate in the PRC ITH program, as evidenced by your unsuccessful discharge on March 1st, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That's false.
Okay, sir. Being that you stated that allegation number 3 is false, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Grady, and get some additional information on allegation number 3.
Allegation number 3. On February 23rd of 2018, after multiple UA violations, the defendant was referred to and accepted treatment through the ITH program. He was transported to PRC and completed his intake. On 2/27/18, the defendant was caught out of place and verbally reprimanded. The rules were reiterated to him, and he responded by saying he didn't care if he spent the remainder of his time back in prison. On 2/28/18, the offender approached CCO Ellen Kinney, and she felt that the interaction and tone of his voice by the offender was flirtatious. He was counseled by CCO Kinney and Sergeant Petrosky about the interaction with the female staff. On other occasions, the offender was also disruptive in groups. There were many complaints about the counselor, Kathy McMasters, that the offender on several occasions was redirected to stay away from her window while she was dealing with other offenders. There were also complaints from other offenders that the offender had no concern for his peers while in the housing inventory. At one point, he was on the phone with his girlfriend for most of the night. He was also advised to staff from other offenders that he was coaching other offenders in the program. Follow-up number 3, due to the offender's continued noncompliance in the ITH program, He was discharged on 3/1 of 2018.
Okay, Mr. Davis, what's not true about that?
Everything she said was not true. I never really told you about the woman, and like I said, two sides of the struggle.
Yes, sir.
There's something they put in there. How can I call someone and I'm talking about the law? You know what I'm saying? And I told him the program said we're going to get together. And then I found out that I was a normal sex offender. And I'm not supposed to be a normal sex offender. I did have a sex offender charge, but I was registered with none of my counsel. So when I found out I was a normal sex offender, it was that I was telling my counselor, I was telling him, like, I don't feel comfortable in the class of what they say in us. Now, I don't know how they're going to let other inmates speak to me, and when no one ever told me anything, you know what I'm saying? So I was upside down on the hill, but when I said I would finish my time back in the system, it's because I was so upset. And I was outside working, I don't know why I'm trying to say I was out of place. I went out of place, so how I get out of place is I'm working at the yard, cleaning up and heads all open. I got tools in my hand and stuff like that. So how am I be out of place? You know, the sergeant gave me this required job to do this job, and I was doing my job.
Okay. So Mr. Davis, Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to get ready to move on to phase two. You're going to have an opportunity in phase two to further discuss these issues. But as far as phase one goes, sir, I'm going to move to that you did violate the terms and conditions of the community supervision. As far as allegation number one and two, that's going to be based on your admission. Then as far as allegation three goes, I'm going to say that that's based on your warrant and the testimony of the parole office, as well as other information contained inside of the paperwork that we have here, sir. So that's going to be my motion at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Agree.
Phase two of your hand. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two to get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady. Then we're going to come back to you, sir, go over some information, Mr. Davis, and get any other additional information that you'd like to present to the board.
Yes, sir. Mr. Davis was released from DOC on December 22nd of 2017. He was arrested on March 1st of 2018 by parole staff. He has no new charges. He's returned back to DOC on March 1st of 2018. There's a CSED of May 27th of 2019 that reflects zero abscond days. Current conviction, 2009, theft of means of transportation, 10 years. Prior convictions, 1982, flight to law enforcement, 1 year, 6 months. 1982, possession of cell of dangerous drug, 1 year, 6 months. 1985, trafficking in stolen property, 5 years. 1995, trafficking and stolen property, 5 years. 1993, narcotic drug violation, 4 years. 1996, narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 1998, public sexual indecency, 2 years. 2000, theft of means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2001, narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2004, unlawful use of means of transportation, 2 years, 3 months. 2004, narcotic drug violation, 4 years, 6 months. He has 6 terms with DOC. His CUIR scores are 4-4, mental health scores are 2, substance abuse scores are 3. He has no gang affiliation. Prior term for supervision, 1988. Transitional release, return to custody on a tech violation, revoked by the VOEC. 1988, transitional release, completed 7 months. 1995, transitional release, absconded for 55 days, arrested and revoked by DOEC. 1998, TIS release, arrested on new charges, public sexual indecency, burglary, possession of marijuana, revoked by BAC. 2000, TIS release, absconded for 17 days, revoked by BAC. 2003, absconded for 67 days, arrested and revoked by BAC. 2007, TIS release, in-office arrest, revoked by BAC. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. Other arrests, the community risk score is a G3V4.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Brady. Okay, sir, so I see that when we were actually released, you were released homeless, then you were subsequently approved to reside with your brother, Brian Davis, at 5649 South 13th Place in Phoenix. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, it says that you didn't work during that period of time. Were you working?
Yeah, I was working.
Where'd you work at? What'd you do?
I was self-employed. I'm a mechanic.
Okay. So it says that you was assessed your screening color for your donor. So you provided 5 positive urine samples, 0 negative samples, and you failed to submit 1 sample per your assigned color. It said that you were referred to the ITH program after multiple UA violation. Then you were discharged from the program for failing to participate and exhibited non-compliant behaviors and a negative attitude, stating that you didn't understand what you were doing in the program and that you preferred to finish your time in prison. Is that what you were referring to, that you were in a class with sex offenders, sir?
Yes.
And so what I had, go ahead, I'm sorry.
When I had, I would talk to my teacher in private. She would be in class with him, and she would say, you can sign in. So that's why I was trying to figure out how to do it for being out of place. And I would sign in every morning with my mentor, and boy, and she said, okay, you can sign in. So she would always come in and talk to me early in the morning. Every day I talk to her, and every day I give her my little samples and everything. So I followed the rules and regulations, but they tried to say that I did.
Okay, so, sir, it said that you had 5 positive UA samples and 0 negative samples. So why did you continue to use cocaine, sir?
I had family issues, family misinterpreted things. My mom passed away in 2015. And then my brother, 2014, and then my brother just passed in 2015. And when I got home, I had this issue, and I was trying to get my medication, and someone was using my social security number, so it was hard for me to get my medication that I was checking out in the prison. So I was using my camera to relax myself, and that's what I was doing.
So you know that was going to get you in trouble using that cocaine.
Yes, I did. I did it to my parole officer. I did it to her and told her everything that I'm telling you today. I admitted it to her and told her. She said, you want me to tell her? I said, yes, I want cocaine. She said, okay. Wednesday. Next time I see her, I told her again. I called her on the telephone. She asked me. I told her, I was being real honest with her.
Okay. Yes. Well, it says that you were pretty honest. So, you've been in custody several times, and the majority of the times that you've been in custody, while you were out on parole, you were either arrested for intent violation or you absconded. Why is it that you have a hard time following your conditions of parole when you're out on community supervision, sir?
Why? Because I was hard and evil and young and dumb and not understanding. I'm not at the age I am now. I'm 60 now, and I can understand the reason, you know what I'm saying, and what I was going through when I was out there.
Yeah. So, you know, you felt like you shouldn't be in the class because there was other sex offenders in the class, but you were continuing to use cocaine, and you knew that definitely by whether you were on your medications or not, that using cocaine was only gonna get you violated, and you were honest and told your parole officer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I know that.
All right. Sir, I'm gonna see if the board has any additional questions for you. Sir, seeing no additional questions coming before the board, Mr. Davis, we're about to come up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board, sir, without repeating yourself?
No.
All right. Okay, so Mr. Davis, the board's gonna go into discussion. While we're in discussion, sir, I'm gonna ask you to remain on the phone. However, to remain silent while the board's in discussion, we're going to make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision at that time, sir. So please stay on the phone, however, remain silent. The board's now into discussion. Mr. Davis was not taking his medication because he was unable to get it, so said he resorted to using cocaine to help relax his mind. He was involved in the ITH program, in which his PO put him in that program because of his continual use of cocaine. And it appears that his PO, Rodriguez, was definitely working with him during this period of time, that he had several chances and opportunities to do it. He had five UAs, in which all of them was positive and none of them were negative during the time. He was honest. He did tell his PO. He did go into the PO's office when she referred, asked him to come in. Now he continued to use cocaine during that period of time. Now, Mr. Davis has a history of either having a tank violation or being an absconder or getting new charges when he's been out on community supervision. However, he didn't get any new charges while he was out this time. But Mr. Davis will be released on May 27th. Which is a little bit more than a month, that he will be released. I think it was 2018. That's still a while ago before he will actually be released. But because of his past history, yes. He has seven previous incidents where he was out of community supervision, and only one of those did he complete the 7 months that he was out. The rest of them, he all violated. He knew that the use of cocaine was definitely a violation. He continued to use cocaine while he was out. So I don't feel that based on his past history, based on his continued use of cocaine, that Mr. Davis would be a good candidate to be released again back out on community supervision. I'm willing to list the rest of my colleagues. Okay, if there's no further comments on it, then I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Davis by that he was deleted by the current conditions of his community supervision. It had lapsed, the Bible lapsed through criminal ways for comments.
Second.
Agreed.
To revoke the community supervision. You will be released on May 27th of 2019, which is about a year from now. So while you're in custody, sir, take some time and opportunity to get involved in some NA or AA programs or some program for drugs while you're there, sir, so that when you are released in about a year, that you will hopefully be off drugs, have your medications all together, and you won't have any negative contacts with law enforcement again, sir. You won't have to go back to prison or come back before this board again, sir. Mr. Davis, I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing with this board. Sir, that will conclude your hearing at this time.
Thank you.